The Holy Gospel is recorded in Luke, the 18th chapter. Then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and to never lose heart. He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while he refused. But finally he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming here.' And the Lord said, 'Now listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen people who cry to him day and night? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. Let's pray. Lord God, giver of all creation, lover of all people, the one who is a just God, help us to grasp what it means to seek justice and not lose heart. And all God's people say. Well, Anna Goyne's funeral was here yesterday during the preparations for the Oktoberfest, and actually we warned them that it was going to be smelly in here, like it is today, and so on, and they actually thought that's kind of cool, because Anna was a German immigrant at age 25, and so when they came into the sanctuary and the bacon was frying in the kitchen, and they felt like their mother was here cooking for them. It was so special, you know. It was just a blessing from God to have that scent in here. But anyway, it got me thinking about my mother a great deal yesterday. And she was a positive, fun-loving person. And she would have really loved this Oktoberfest thing. I mean, she would have been here to do all the prep, you know, in the kitchen doing stuff, hauling tables and chairs and cleaning up afterwards. But especially, she would have loved the dancing. She would have, if she was here, she would have pestered every one of you who likes to dance until you danced with her. That's how she was. Loved to have a good time. You know, but we were a poor family, and she was so resourceful when we were growing up. I mean, she could create things out of nothing, kind of like, you know, it seemed like to us, like that. And she could stretch a dollar from here to, what, Amarillo, you know, that's how she was. But there was this one really embarrassing thing about her. She was this persistent bargainer. When she went to stores, she was always asking for a special deal, you know. And even at a grocery store, you'd go to the grocery store on Friday nights with her for grocery shopping, and it was so embarrassing. You know, she'd find like an oatmeal carton, you know, a Quaker Oats carton that maybe had a dent in it. And she'd take that to the checkout counter and say to the cashier, "You know, this is a damaged goods. Can you give me this for half price?" And you go, "Oh, mother," you know. And if the cashier couldn't do anything about it, then they'd call in the store manager usually, and she'd get what she wanted. I mean, she just would not take no for an answer about stuff. You know, that's how she was. And I suspect after a while, probably they just had the cashier ring the store manager to come on up there because Mrs. Heath was next in line. I mean, that's just how it was. Well, Jesus tells a story to his disciples here, and really to us. And Luke says to encourage us to keep praying and not lose heart, even when it looks like it's not producing results. And again, it's not just about new coffee makers. It's about making things right wherever they're out of whack, in our lives, in the life of the church, in the life of the whole world. And it's much bigger than that. And so he tells the story about somebody like my mother, this widow, who was not going to take no for an answer. As in other stories, Jesus uses, you know, unlikely people as signs and symbols of the faith, the true faith. Outsiders, marginalized people, people you wouldn't expect, like the Good Samaritan story, right? Or like the Samaritan leper last week. Or like the widow who gave her last coin to the church You know? That was the widow, the marginalized, and then the widow whose son was brought back to life. Stuff like that. But we have to understand this context a little bit that this woman is in. In Jesus' time, and until fairly recently, even if you watch Downton Abbey, which isn't on yet, of course, but you know that women could not inherit property until recently, right? That's just how life was. It wasn't necessarily just, but that's how the world was structured. It went to the oldest son in Jesus' day. And if she didn't have a son, then it went to the oldest living brother of her husband. She didn't get it. But with the caveat that the inheritor needed to make sure that the widow and the orphans were cared for. And obviously that wasn't happening in this situation for this widow. Maybe it's her brother-in-law who's holding out, who knows. Can't imagine a son doing that, can you? But this was considered part of God's command for justice for God's chosen people in the Old Testament and in the New. Care for the widow and the orphan. That's the essence of justice in the Old Testament. The word mishpat is the word for rebalancing, restoring balance, putting things right. And in fact, you heard it if you're a part of the Gebert Golf Tournament. Here's the verse that was the theme verse for our golf tournament this year. It's James 1:27. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to care for orphans and the widows in their distress, and then therefore to keep oneself unstained by the world, the values of the world that are contrary to this kind of thing, right? Well, that's what we're called to. All throughout the Old Testament, the prophets, let justice roll down like waters, mercy like an ever-flowing stream. And it was always, most often, this word mishpat. Leveling the playing field, really, is kind of what it means. And so back in biblical times, the work of God's people was to be sure that those people on the margins of society were helped to get back on their feet, helped to get back into a share of the blessings of life. Even by leaving margins, by the way, on your fields, after when you were harvesting, you'd leave the grain around the edges for poor folks to be able to come and harvest so they'd have something to eat. And that was a form of mishpat, of leveling the playing field. That was like the story of Ruth in the Old Testament. Remember her? She was out gleaning to keep food on the table for her mother-in-law, Naomi, and herself. But the best mishpat was done by helping people, yes, get back on their feet, get restarted, not with just a handout, but with actually land, or a millstone to grind their grain, or maybe a couple animals, work animals, to help with the farming, or some tools. Not unlike, you know, this God's Global Barnyard thing that we do every December, where we buy animals for people around the world that helps a family begin to start their own production of cow's milk, or of, you know, get a pig or chickens, and they can produce eggs and reproduce, and eventually the goal is that once they're thriving, they can give some chickens or calf to somebody else and help another family. That's the goal. Mishpat. See that? And so this fair trade store is on the other end of the production line of things for us. You know, it's to help people who are being productive to have a means to get just prices for their goods. That's mishpat also. And our fair trade store is such a little thing, really, but it's an important symbol of doing what needs to be done in terms of the needs of the world. So it's more important than you think. But back to the Bible here, I'm sure you're going to be shocked, but just imagine that kind of justice didn't always happen in the Bible. So a lot of people lived on the margins, including this widow. But Jesus says she's different because she has some chutzpah. She won't take no for an answer, see? Even though she's at the bottom rung of society. Until her prayers, her calls are heard and the powers that be relent. And isn't that what happened? You know, she persists. She refuses to be marginalized any longer. comes pestering this judge who could care less about God's values or about people, Jesus says. Not even about justice. This judge cares less about justice, unless maybe you could line his pockets to help him get reelected or something, you know. But she persists, she keeps coming back until she wears him out pestering him. Perhaps she's getting interviews in the local newspaper, who knows, and his next election campaign's in jeopardy if he keeps treating widows badly like this, you know. But what's the point? Jesus says we're encouraged to cry out to God for justice like this widow did until God hears our prayers and the powers that be relent. Isn't that just what happened in Nazi Germany? If you're old enough, you were praying for things to be made right in Europe, right? And it happened that those Christian underground people like Dietrich Bonhoeffer and others who were fighting for justice to be done in Germany, and ultimately the powers that be relented. And isn't that what happened in our country with the slavery of Africans? Isn't that right? Persistence, prayer, and ultimately nonviolent protest forced an unjust situation to be made right. Mishpat. The gospel songs that many of us, you know, have learned and sang ring out with that message. And they were not just about spiritual life and going to heaven. Lord, help me to hold on until my change comes. Wasn't just about the heavenly change, it's about that. But it was about change in this life. Mishpat, justice. And for at least 200 years, those gospel songs were prayers to God and messages to those being enslaved that there was hope. Pray and continue to persist and don't lose heart. And finally, that happened. The same with apartheid in South Africa, if you know about that. The marginalized finally had nothing to lose, and aided by economic sanctions from this country and elsewhere in the world, the unjust apartheid system collapsed, and the freedom songs, we have some of those freedom songs right in our red hymnal from that era, that time, not long ago. Now, injustice is always going to be around, right? Jesus says, the poor you'll always have with you. But here's the call to Jesus' disciples, persist. And he says, if an unjust judge can be convinced to give way, how much more will your Father in heaven who loves you and desires that all be made right and that all share in his goodness and mercy, how much more won't your God who desires that help you to set things right? And he says, you may have to nag God, scold God, complain to God about all this, be as obnoxious as my mother. But Jesus assures us that God will ultimately make things right. And he'll do it how? Guess how? Through his obedient disciples. That's how. You know, I'm gratified to see that kind of thing in our midst here. I know members of our church who are wealthy and see life like it's kind of a monopoly game. It's incredible, you know. It's kind of like, let's make all the money we can, and then let's redistribute it. Like the game is over and we'll start over, you know. You pass out the deeds and the money again. Isn't that a great game, Monopoly? It's a great metaphor for what's called the Jubilee year in the Bible. It's like every 50 years, everybody goes crazy making as much money, being as prosperous and productive as they can, and the end of 50 years, we'll see where we're at, and then we reshuffle the deck. Never quite happened like that, but isn't that a great image? Mishpat. Nothing's that important as that all get to share in God's goodness. Mishpat. Well, I see that with money, but I also see it with time. There's people in this church who are willing to sacrifice attention to just their families, who kind of adopt other families to care for them, to give them emotional support. And my heart soars like a hawk when I see that. I think of people like Dan and Karen Shaw, who aren't here because she's sick. And she hates being sick because she's such a giver, you know? Because she wants to be doing that, doing for others, caring for others, and takes care of that. That's part of Mishpat, leveling the playing field. People are marginalized by lack of care and support. And that's how our prayer is to make peace and give people a chance to thrive are answered. When God's people rise to the challenge of using their influence to level the playing field. And unlike the unjust judge, they even get a kick out of doing it. It's fun! It's a hoot! So the widow, like my mother, Jesus says, when you pray for things to be made right, don't take no for an answer. Nag, scold, plead with God and with the powers that be, and acting, knowing that eventually we're going to arrive at that heavenly monopoly game where God's abundance will be full and free and joyfully shared all around. Won't that